Hello everyone, it's Richard Lewis here again with another video. Today I'm going to revisit my old friend, the Overwatch League, and you know, I've obtained some documentation that you know, I just wanted to bring to everyone's attention because it's doing the rounds. Some players have some concerns about it. I've been approached by a few to sort of give them some private advice and some private thoughts, and I thought, well, you know, it's a busy time for the Overwatch League. There's lots of news flying around. I may as well make a video about it just to put out, you know, general awareness. And I'm sure it'll be met with the usual, oh, but Richard Lewis doesn't know anything about Overwatch. Richard Lewis is biased against the Overwatch League. You know, all of that nonsense from hardcore Overwatch fans that are super desperate for the game to succeed. But I think, as we've seen, you know, my reporting so far has been on point. And there are some concerns, you know, among the player base and among some of these sports franchises that were initially interested but aren't anymore. And we're starting to see that big shift, aren't we? You know, we've got, obviously, the Crafts are involved and that kind of thing, but some of the names that were originally involved have pulled back, and that's for a variety of reasons. Concern about ROI and where the money's going and how you make money, some of the more egregious terms, and of course, as I reported, this idea that they're not going to get the Call of Duty teams. Now, since I put that report out, actually, just as an aside, there's talk now that some of these investors are being offered a twofer, that if you go above a certain amount of money, it will secure you a Call of Duty franchise as well when they do eventually do a similar franchise league. That's rumors that are flying around, again, reliable sources, but whatever. That's not what I'm here to talk about. I'm here to talk about the players and some of the concerns they've got. Now, loads of people have been banging the drum about a report that came out over on, I believe it was ESPN, initially. And you've seen a lot of kind of like pro-Overwatch propaganda, if you like, in certain publications. And this was the report over on ESPN that they've announced their standard player contract terms, and the minimum salary is going to be $50,000 per year, and they're going to get you know, employer sponsored housing, health insurance, and a retirement savings plan. And everyone's gone, oh wow, this is amazing. You can see as well, players will also be entitled to 50% of performance bonuses earned by teams. There's going to be 3.5 million in bonuses available in season one, with the winner of the season earning a minimum of $1 million. Blizzard haven't specified the other methods for obtaining performance bonuses yet. And I wager that's because they don't really have a clear idea. They've just got the money kind of pushed to one side. There's going to be no region locking around talent either. And, you know, that's partially because they haven't proliferated their franchises through Asia to the same amount that they would like. So they're going to have like freedom of movement with no limitations. So you're going to see a lot of Korean players, you know, because they've only got Seoul as their Korean franchise. You're going to see a lot of Korean players and Asian players in general probably move to Europe and NA on, you know, hopefully lucrative contracts. But yes, there's going to be a minimum salary of $50,000 per year put in place. And, you know, look, I think that's good. I like the idea of minimum salaries for professional players playing in professional leagues. I think the problem we had, and we had this initially in League of Legends, is that the minimum becomes the baseline. You know, and I saw this a lot with very small franchises in League of Legends back when LCS was in its infancy. You would get these organizations who kind of basically abused players to come into the LCS through the promotion system. They promised them the world, said, we'll get into LCS, and that's when you'll make the money. We'll increase your salary then. We'll do all of this. Very often, you saw Challenger Series players, you know, playing for sometimes no salary at all, you know, just like they just got a house, a player house, or salaries that were promised down the road and then never delivered upon. And I know there's lots of players out there for League of Legends who know what I'm talking about. Now, $50,000 amount doesn't set the world on fire for me. I'm not impressed by that in the same way a lot of the mainstream media seems to be. $50,000 is about the sort of median house income in NA currently. it's about half of what you would make average if you achieved a like master's level degree in higher education. I think the number's about 90,000, 94,000, something like that. Focus camera. Kind of putting that out for like what you want to be elite level athletes is kind of a little bit underwhelming. And if you look at a study that was conducted by ESPN as well, they did like a survey anonymously of LCS players, which, let's be clear, LCS is the established rival esports league. And this is what they did. It was, Life is a League of Legends Pro. Now, when they went through and they asked all these questions, they found that the average base salary here was, as you can see, the average base salary in NA is $105,000. So, that's just the average, certainly not the minimum, but it's the average. So it shows the higher level of earnings there. And the European average is about 80,000 as well. Certainly, I see a lot of, I don't want to say mediocre players, but I want to say ordinary players, making a lot more money in LCS than what looks to be happening if you're an Overwatch pro. And that's strange to me because I keep hearing about this unprecedented level of investment in Overwatch. Now, again, I've made this point in other videos. $10 million to go into LCS and be franchised in an established league which has data for reach, data for merchandising, all sorts of stuff. Or $20 million for a startup league. 25% of any sale that you make down the road, apparently going back to Blizzard in the original agreement. No proof of concept, no super impressive numbers. And the only report that really points to this being a good investment opportunity is a very dubious Morgan Stanley document, which I've been teasing that I'm going to do a breakdown of, and I just haven't had time. But I'll show you a little bit here as well that's kind of concerning. So think about this. Mainstream sports investors coming in to Overwatch, right? And they're going to throw all this money at it, and we're talking $50,000 minimum salary, which certainly is the highest minimum salary that's ever been touted in esports. But of course, the baseline minimum moves up over time as more and more money comes into it, and that's what we've seen happen in League of Legends. And as we move towards franchising and the fact that Riot are just going to push out any undesirable owners, the reality is that the average League of Legends pro is going to be doing better than the average Overwatch pro. So here's the thing that really kind of bothered me. When I was looking through that Morgan Stanley report, one number that just leapt off the page immediately, and it's a long report filled with gobbledygook and crazy numbers, is the player revenue as a percentage, player expenses as a percentage of revenue, I should say, rather. And if you have a look, I screen clipped it here and put it on Imgur because I didn't want to bring the whole report up and scroll through it because it's quite sizable. But it gives you an idea about, what players make in sports leagues. And keep in mind, Blizzard have been very open and vocal about how this is going to be a success. We've seen executives at Blizzard say that they're confident that it can go the same route as the NFL and the NBA and everything else. Well, let's have a look at the player expense as a percentage of revenue. In the NFL, it's 53%. This is the money the players are making. In NBA, it's 45%. Baseball, 53%. Hockey, 52%. MLS, relatively new thing in American sports, but growing all the time, 30%. And then you come down to the Overwatch League, the base case, it's 10%. So it's like, immediately you can see all the money that's coming in, it doesn't look like it's going to trickle down to players in sort of any meaningful way. I mean, that number seems quite derisory to me, especially given what we're supposedly hyping up all of this talent. And you've seen Blizzard, quote these 75,000 potential pros, and they're compiling the scouting document. I might do a separate video on that scouting document. This scouting document is just a very basic questionnaire. I've seen that too. I don't understand what level of insight it would give to a potential investor. So there's something a little bit janky with the numbers right now. You know, I've already talked about how one sizable sponsor has walked away because Blizzard kept kind of inflating the demand of what it would cost to be a title sponsor for this startup league, rather than grabbing what was on the table and what was reasonable and just taking it from there, you know, which would is a much safer business model. But, you know, when I see numbers like that, I think, you know, that so much of this league is going to be about the players. And they've said throughout all the literature, it's going to be very player-centric. And they're doing these press releases where they're going, oh, we're going to give you health benefits and we're going to give you, you know, accommodation. Well, you know, that's been a standard as well in several esports. You know, again, to put it in context, coming from the Counter-Strike world, $50,000 is a minimum salary. We don't have minimum salaries because there's no overarching controlling league. The, you know, Valve, the developer, are hands off. They don't give any recommendations. So some people earn a pittance, but equally at the higher end, I mean, there's crazy amounts of money. Like that $50,000 for some CS players would be like 2-3 months. You know, it's so it's interesting. Anyway, that 10% number always rankled with me, and I'll do a more in detail breakdown of that Morgan Stanley report, because there are some crazy numbers and crazy comparisons that don't make any sense. Now look, here's what I really wanted to make the video about. That's all kind of window dressing. That was just some stuff that's on my mind, and yes, I'm aware, minimum salary, sure, it'll be inflated for star players and all of that. I understand there's a difference between minimum and average, so no need to go and straw man in the YouTube comments. But what you will find is that generally, if there's a developer supported mandated minimum, as we saw in League of Legends at the start, that's going to be what players are going to make. That's what the vast majority of players are going to make, unless you're a huge brand with a huge stream and a huge following and huge ability and huge talent, that salary isn't going to go up very often, you know. So that's concerning, especially with that whole 10% number. But here was another thing. I obtained the player selection process acceptance form that all Overwatch players have to sign if they want to be considered for the league. Not even in it. Just considered, because yes, I did report one thing which has shifted a while ago. Blizzard were very keen on the idea of a draft. They've now abandoned the idea of a draft for logistical reasons, but all the initial iterations of league documents and documentation about the league included a draft as part of it. That's why they told esports organizations, do not sign players, because we will have to buy them out and we will not look upon that favorably. So Blizzard told people not to sign Overwatch players. Then they moved away from the draft idea. You know, a lot of esports organizations are really bitter and upset about that, because it did cost them some sort of earning potential. I've talked to a lot of owners who kind of feel that's a bit unfair what Blizzard did there, but whatever. So anyway, they're moving away from that now. But this is the player selection process acceptance form. And I had there's a few concerning things in this for me, because understand, all players who want to be considered for the league sign this document, and it's very expansive and broad. Now, I had some lawyers look at this, and I had to go outside of my usual network, because a lot of the esports lawyers now are involved with the teams, and I wanted to get a completely comprehensive and non-biased opinion on this document. And let me tell you, people with some sports background say, yes, some of the language here is standard, which blew my mind. But some of it is definitely overreaching, especially for people who don't need to be in the league. You can see here, collecting and sharing my personal information. So one of the goals of the player selection process is to increase my visibility as a professional player and thereby build my personal brand. In order to do that, the Overwatch League LLC and or its affiliates, collectively the league office, will have to collect and share certain information about me and my gameplay. Accordingly, I hereby acknowledge and agree that the personal and other information and data that I provide to the league office as part of the player selection process, or B, has previously been collected by the league office or the Blizzard Group in connection with my registration with Battle.net or play of the game Overwatch, such as my name, email, mailing address, battle tag, and Battle.net ID, language proficiencies, and gameplay data and statistics may be used by the league office and shared with, disclosed to, and used by teams in the league. and their agents and representatives in connection with the player selection process. So this kind of gives them carte blanche to talk about things that I don't really think necessarily should be getting talked about privately. I mean, you know, the collection of any data, if you want to partake in a league, is kind of standard. Obviously, they need to know stuff, but the idea that they've now got carte blanche for like anything you've said, because they're looking at the language. I mean, when they say language proficiencies, this shows that they're looking at, you know, how well you speak specific languages and this kind of thing. But that also probably means they're looking at in-game chat and everything else. And I know enough from what happened at Riot that basically Riot were kind of privately reaching out to players, team organizations, and saying, if you sign this player, if you sign any of these players, we will frown upon it. We will not take it too kindly. We strongly recommend you don't. We don't even think they will pass our behavior checks. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And this seems to be a very similar and restrictive system. Now, the fact that you would sign all of that away anyway without even being guaranteed the league is a little bit concerning to me. Because understand, this is just to be in the selection process. This does not mean you will be selected. I will repeat this multiple times. It goes, you can request the league office to access, update, or delete your information, which is just a standard thing all data handlers have to offer. And if you are an EEA resident, you also hereby acknowledge and agree that your information may be transferred to countries outside of the EEA, including the United States. So that's fine. Then you've got the license to use my name and likeness. So these are the likeness rights. And it goes, I hereby grant to the league office a royalty-free, fully paid up, worldwide, perpetual right and license, with the right to grant sub-licenses to copy, display, distribute, edit, host, store, and otherwise use my name, nickname, battle tag, replacement tags, BattleNet ID, logo, initials, likeness, image, photography, animation, avatar, autograph, voice, video, or film portrayal, public persona, gameplay data and statistics, biographical information, backstory, and any streams of the game, and create derivative works thereof in any and all present and future media on or in connection with A, the player selection process, B, the exploitation of media and other rights relating to the player selection process, the league and its teams and game esports in general, and the marketing, sponsorship and promotion of the player selection process, the league, any of its teams and game esports in general. So what this is, I showed this to one lawyer and they were like, this is the most overreaching and broad IP rights grant that they've seen. And they said there's no need to include all these explorations related to the game in general. Also understand this is, of course, in perpetuity. It's hilarious because there'll be several players, you know, it won't be the majority of them, but there will be several players who've already signed away their image rights in perpetuity to their esports organization. This is a problem I've not seen really come up a lot yet. But every time you sign in a game with an org, you sign away your image rights in perpetuity as standard. And players, I don't think, should be doing that. Certainly not in exchange for huge swathes of money. But basically, this is only for player selection as well. So keep this in mind. So Blizzard would have access to your image rights in perpetuity. Okay? For all of those things, your biographical information, they can use any of it. Your backstory, right, whatever that means, any stream, and it even expands to, as they say, esports in general, game esports in general. So you could enter the selection process, not be selected, and Blizzard could use any of that information to promote their game, even if you're not in a team. I don't know why that situation would come up, but they could do it. They have the legal right to do it. This is too much. This is too much to sign away. I can't believe players would sign this away. And basically what you're relying on is Blizzard being reasonable. Now, Blizzard might well be reasonable, but this is incredibly egregious, especially for no financial reward up front. This is simply to have the chance of being selected. To sign away those kind of image rights, it's usually for an endorsement deal, a very lucrative one, to be in a team, to get a salary, a very lucrative one. It's not to have the chance of being picked up. This is crazy. So there was that. Then there was the limitations of liability. This made me laugh. Actually, before we even go on to that, yes, this also means that they can edit your voice and video of you. League of Legends had this. An LCS contract had this. So they can edit they can edit your voice and likeness to promote their game. So they could legally cut a sentence together of you saying, "I love Overwatch," when you've said no such thing. I mean, it's mind-boggling. Anyway, to the limitations of liability. Now, this is the most kind of ridiculous and offensive limitations on liability I have seen in an esports contract. I mean, really, it is. And again, I had a lawyer actually laugh at this because it's so absurd. And we had a similar thing in LCS. Now, I think it was League of Legends. It was $25,000 max liability, even if you died representing the league, even if negligence was involved. So let's say, for example, you're in the League of Legends studio, a light fitting falls from the ceiling and it smashes your skull in, they're only liable for $25,000 in the result of your death. Isn't that crazy? But this is, you know, companies and leagues and things like that, they put limitations on liability in, so basically you can't sue the fuck out of them. I don't think it's necessarily the way to fly, but anyway, I don't like it. I consider it unethical, but I guess this is American litigation and that's how it is. But anyway, I agree that the liability of Activision Blizzard, Blizzard Entertainment, the League Office, respective officers, directors, agents, and employees, known collectively as the Blizzard Group, to me, for any and all harm, damages, injury, or loss arising out of or in connection with the player selection process or the exploitation of any of the rights granted above, should be limited to my direct damages not to exceed $1,500. It includes death, guys. It includes death. And this shall be my only remedy, no legal recourse, if you go to a Blizzard studio and, again, there's an accident, you get electrocuted at your desk, Blizzard will be liable for $1,500 and there will be no legal recourse for you or your estate or anything else. Multiple claims will not expand this limitation. To the fullest extent permitted by applicable law, I acknowledge that I am aware of the risks, dangers, and hazards associated with esports competitions and play the game at the professional level, and I freely accept and fully assume all such risks, dangers, and hazards and the possibility of personal injury, death, property damage, or loss resulting from my participation in such activities. So again, that seems a little bit much. And you're signing that just to have the chance of being selected. So anyway, the acceptance form in general has some other terms and conditions, which apparently are kind of standard, you know, for this sort of thing. And there's also a bit of language in this document where it basically says, hang on, let me find the exact sentence for you. But it's basically a bit where it says, if anything in this contract is deemed too broad to be unenforceable, it shall be taken as being enforceable. You'll see that at the bottom of the terms of service. Now, apparently this is fine, and that seems crazy to me. That basically, if something is deemed too broad to be enforceable, it's just enforceable anyway. We say so. Now, some lawyers I talked to, depending on their geography, they said that this would be unenforceable in some courts, but it seems a bit ridiculous. But you can see here the other terms and conditions. This acceptance form should be governed by the laws of the state of New York without regard to choice of law principles. This acceptance form should be effective and binding on me, my heirs, my next of kin, executors, administrators, permitted assigns, and representatives. That seems a bit excessive too. I agree that I may not assign, delegate, or otherwise transfer this acceptance form. If any provision of this acceptance form is so broad as to be unenforceable, such provision shall be interpreted to be only so broad as is enforceable. In entering into this acceptance form, I am not relying on any oral or written statements or representations made by any person or entity with respect to the league. If I am under the age of majority where I reside, the parent or legal guardian signing below agrees to the terms and conditions in this acceptance form. Then it talks about guardians and some of the other states. And there we have it. And said this agreement to arbitrate means that I and or the guardian is explicitly waiving the right to file a court action and is giving up any right to a jury trial should it be required. Of course you are. You're giving up everything just to be in the selection process. So there you have it, you know. And a lot of players came to me and said, what do you think about this? And I'm like, dudes, you know, I wouldn't sign it. I wouldn't. But they've got you over the barrel, haven't they? This is one of the problems with developer-controlled esports. They create a big, shiny league, the only league in town. They shut down all other leagues because it's their intellectual property and they can do it, and they create a monopoly. And League of Legends did this incredibly effectively. They used other companies to grow, and then they said, right, we don't want to be partners with you anymore. Bye, MLG. Bye, DreamHack. Thanks for helping grow our game. Now it's all about LCS. Go fuck yourselves. And it was, you know, like the Red Wedding is how they went about it. It was that sort of level of politics. And this is what the danger is, you know, because these players, if they want to be in the selection process for the Overwatch League, they have to sign this document. Now, my only advice I can say is, because I know players have already been like, well, I didn't want to sign it, but I've got to, because I want to be a professional Overwatch player, is just get good representation, file with a lawyer now for any potential problems down the way, and show them this document. Get yourself an agent, get yourself a lawyer, whatever it takes, and just show them the document you've already signed and agreed to, and then at least your representation can be cognizant of future problems down the road. But I mean, this is, as I said, this is more egregious and overreaching than the LCS contract, which I had broke down by a lawyer. You can find that on the Daily Dot still, or Dot Esports as it's known now. So yeah, pretty concerning to me. All of these numbers, all of this money, you know, it looks to me like in this league, players aren't going to get a good deal at all. And I think that really drastically needs to be thought about moving forward. And hopefully the organizations, that's you, the organizations who will be salarying and picking up these players to represent your brand, will stand shoulder to shoulder on something just a little bit more important than franchising. Maybe you could come together with your bogus PEA bullshit or whatever the fuck you're calling it this week and actually advocate for the players and talk about how you don't feel comfortable with stuff like this. Just a suggestion. I don't know. Who cares, right? Like, as long as the fireworks display keeps ticking and we're all making bank, right? That's what esports is becoming rapidly about right now. Anyway, I will do some more stuff on the Overwatch League as it progresses. I am going to break down that Morgan Stanley report because it's absurd. It mainly be a comedy piece. There's no value in that report whatsoever, in my opinion, and certainly in the opinion of multiple venture capital people and sports brands I've talked to. So I think it'll give everybody a chuckle. I promise I'll get around to that at some point. But anyway, thanks all for watching this video, and hopefully